Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, the Salvation Army, aren't they fantastic? And I'm not just talking about their band music, which I have a special soft spot for. The thing about the Salvos is that they turn up and they quietly go about their caring work in the name of Jesus. They do such good work in so many situations, and the drought is no exception. Rusty and Diane Lawson are Salvation Army rural chaplains, and they're travelling dusty back roads in northwestern New South Wales right now, dispensing practical help and spiritual comfort to farmers suffering through what is now labelled the worst drought for 50 years. I caught up with Rusty and Diane on the road. Hello to you both.
Hi, Diane. Thank you.
Where are we talking to you right now?
We're currently in Moree in northwest New South Wales.
Yes. So how's it looking?
Bare, barren, desolate. There's some words you could use.
Moonscape?
Yeah, a moonscape is very much so. In a lot of places, there's little or no ground cover other than the few crowns of types of weeds that the stock won't eat, even when there's nothing much else to eat, and the roly-poly, which they only eat when it's young and green.
Yes, and probably not very good for them.
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't asked too many cattle what they feel about eating roly-poly.
Now, look, it didn't become a moonscape, as you've described it, Diane. It didn't become that last week when the media seemed to have discovered the long dry. It's been like that for a while, though, hasn't it?
Yes. Depending on where you live in this wonderful state of New South Wales that we work in, it has been dry for quite some time. At the forum here at Moree that we had yesterday, the Navigating the Drought forum, I spoke with a lady who's up to the north and east of here, and they have been dry for 7 years. They didn't get a lot of rain in 2016 when a lot of people were blessed with a reasonable season. So they've predominantly been in drought for the last 7 years.
That's a long-term drought. You've described it as desolation, the landscape. What about the people? Surely you're finding great examples of the human spirit and the spirit of God moving through those communities, are you?
We see that people are tired. They've been working long hours. They've been feeding their stock. A lot of them are working off-farm to have enough funds to be able to feed their stock. So they're working full-time. They're coming home. They're feeding their stock, which is another full-time job, and they're tired, they're worn out. And I guess we see the Spirit of God moving in those communities through us when we rock up and we just come alongside people. We sit with them, we listen with them, we work alongside them in some circumstances and just do life with them. And be the presence of God to these people.
And the Spirit of God moves through them in that even through all this harsh adversity that they face, the long hours of toil with what seems like a no reward at this point in time, because no matter how well they try and feed, the bills keep mounting up, the stock keep losing condition because you can't match what nature has in the grass, what God's created order has in the grass. But yet they still smile. They've still got kind words to say. They are still just the most amazing, wonderful, salt of the earth people.
Yes. Well, what a blessing to work with them in that respect. But undeniably, there's heartache amongst that. What sorts of stories are they telling you about the long-term effect on their well-being and on their families?
We've had some people we visited just recently further south from here, and we sat with this couple, an older couple, and they are basically, once they get through this drought, they have to basically sell up and walk off the farm. Because at their age and with their health worries that are creeping in as they get older, they just can't go through another drought. So So when times come good again, if they come good in the foreseeable future, they are going to have to make the decision to sell. As it stands now, a lot of people are in that position. There's not going to be any hope for a coming back because they sell all their stock. They may, if they're lucky, clear any overdraft or debts they have. Mm. But then if they go off the farm, they've got to have somewhere to live. And they've got to be able to sell the farm and clear their debts to be able to buy somewhere to live. So it's pretty dire for many people, but yet still they smile. And they tell you there's always someone worse off than us.
And they offer us a dozen eggs.
Yes, yes.
You take these with you.
Is that a fact? Well,
yes, even in their desperation, they give.
Yeah.
We are the ones who are blessed to be able to work with them.
As a father, I realised a few years ago that, oh gosh, when our children were in their 20s, that was kind of the end of that stage of family life. I mean, that'll sound obvious to people, but it is a realisation moment. You say, well, that was their upbringing. That was the childhood that they will always remember. Gosh, I hope under God that I did that well. There'll be adults in, you know, years to come who say, oh, Dad was always sad, or Mum was always trying to make do.
Yes, and that's because what we now know and call depression is a very real thing amongst farmers when they look out at the hopelessness of the state of the land through no fault of their own, just because that's what nature throws at us.
How do you help people through that?
We come alongside them, as Diane said earlier, and we do life with them. We build relation with them. We share the love of Christ, often in a very practical way, by the giving of what we can, financial assistance, but more so of the hope of God that it will rain one day. We don't try to be able to forecast the rain, because even the educated folk in that science of weather forecasting can't get it right, because just when they think they've nailed it, Mother Nature throws another curveball in there. But what we do is we do life with people, we journey with them, we help where we can, either practically by helping on the property to do simple little tasks, or we just share the love of God with them by being there, available to them whenever they need us to talk to have a prayer with them and just share God's love.
We also work with other agencies and are very good at referring to other agencies for assistance. And if people are in that depressive state, the first contact for them is to talk to their GP as well and to get some sort of a health plan in place where they can get access to counselling on a regular basis.
Yes, indeed. Well, our guests are rural chaplains for the Salvation Army, Rusty and Diane Lawson, operating in the northern and northwestern area, central north area of New South Wales, and up into Queensland as well, isn't it?
No, we don't actually cross over the border. There are folk up in Queensland as part of the Salvation Army chaplaincy team based at Dalby, Longreach and Mount Isa that cover a fair hunk of Queensland. Two of those use either a fixed wing or a rotary wing aircraft, and the other folk are vehicle-based like we are.
Wow. How do you get called to a service like that, rural chaplaincy?
Well, obviously we had a calling issued on our lives from God to go into full-time ministry within the Salvation Army. So we are commissioned officers and ordained ministers within the Salvos. And for us, rural chaplaincy was a role we always hoped to fulfil. And the Salvation Army has placed us in that role, obviously because they see that we are suited to the ministry. And God has obviously enabled that to happen by influencing the people that make those decisions.
We have a real heart and passion for people in country Australia, country towns. That's our background. We've come from country areas and we love to work with country people.
And how do chaplains cope with what you see?
We have professional supervision with appropriate trained professionals, psychologists. If you really need to go deeper, you can see a psychiatrist, but usually a psychologist that does our debriefings with us. And we, I guess we debrief each other because sometimes Diane will be off talking to the lady of the farm household, and I might be out. Just lately, it's been shoveling cottonseed, spreading hay out for the cattle,
fencing
fences that some individual who decides they want to enter someone's property chasing pigs cuts the fence, drives 500 metres down, finds no pigs, cuts the fence again and goes out.
Oh.
Yes, we see that quite often in a lot of areas.
Cruel.
Yes. And it can have dire consequences on the property if the cattle get out and get hit by vehicles, etc. But that's just another little point of life on the land.
Oh, people are so selfish. It's horrible. How do you handle the question, or the statement, I'm angry with God and, you know, why has he done this to us? Why won't it rain?
I think a lot of people are angry with God, and God is a big God and he's a loving God and he's our dad. And I think all dads expect their kids to be angry with them at some point in time.
Yep.
but often we can just say, well, look, my faith is big enough for the two of us at this time. Let me, my faith can carry you through. Yep. Let me pray for you.
Yep. You be angry with God and I'll love him on your behalf and I'll share the love that he has given me with you.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, next time you're in that position, can you tell them there'll be lots of people who listen to this program right around Australia, where we're in the city, country, wherever. Tell them that they'll be praying with them as well.
Yes, and if we can send a message to your listeners who might be in areas that are getting rain, please stop praying for fine weather. Because obviously God's hearing them and giving them their wish. And we really want it to rain.
Yeah, righto. I promise to wash the car.
Twice.
Oh, look, bless both of you. It's been so, so nice getting to know you. Thank you for the work that you do.
And if your listeners would like to pray for us, pray for rain for our parched country. Pray for us as ministers and from various denominations that are out there working alongside these rural people, that we would have the wisdom and the discernment to reach those people who are really, really struggling and to prioritise those people as we do our day-to-day work, that God, we would, following God's footsteps and connect with the people he would have us connect with.
Yes.
And may they also pray that the people out there that we come alongside and do life with would realise that God's grace is more than sufficient for them and that he just wants to love them where they're at right now and he will bless them when the time is right. The rains will come.
There's a song that goes through my mind. When we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun.
And so that's the message we try and give to folk when we encounter them.
That's fantastic. Thank
and
you.
Can I? You've probably got listeners that are looking for that are struggling themselves on farms.
Yeah.
And if they need assistance, they can go onto the salvos.org.au website and there's a little button there that says need help. Just hit that and register online and someone from the Salvation Army can contact them and see what we can do to assist them.
That's a fantastic tip. We'll put that on our Facebook page as well and I hope you're inundated.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Rusty. Bye-bye, Diane. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye now. Rusty and Diane Lawson is their name, and they work there for the Salvation Army. You can get onto the Salvos website to find out more about asking for help if you need help from them at any stage. What was that? When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiveness has only begun. Marvellous.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.